Jesus showed men what it takes to lead and succeed in life. It's never easy, but it's always worth it. Join us on our epic journey of faith as we follow Jesus, the blueprint for men. Do you ever struggle reading the Bible? Does it sometimes feel boring or like you've read this before or like it just doesn't apply? Well, if you read your Bible, I think you do, because that's normal. Now today I want to share with you an experience that I just had where God really just blew my mind going over a chapter that I've been trying to memorize. So that means I'm really familiar with this chapter and I've gone over it and over it and over it. And then the other day it was like a lightning bolt just hit me right upside the head and I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And for just a second, I caught a glimpse of how deep, how real, how relevant the Bible is. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Psalms 91. I mean, it's a famous chapter in the Bible. The first verse says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." If you remember the story where Satan tempted Jesus, one of the temptations, Satan quotes a Bible verse. He says, "Jump off the temple, Jesus, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways, and your foot will not strike a stone." That's from Psalms 91. It's also the chapter where God promises 1,000 will fall on your side, 10,000 at your right hand. But what struck me the other day was the promise from verse 13. It says, "You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the lion and the great serpent." I mean, it's a nice metaphor, but what does it really mean? How does this verse apply to my life today? Now, obviously, it's not talking about walking over snakes and lions with my bare feet. So I started praying and I was like, okay, God, what does the lion represent? And it's crazy because immediately a verse from 1 Peter 5:8 flashed into my mind. That verse says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And immediately I thought about the snake in the garden, who's also the devil. So verse 13 is saying that I have the power to trample on the devil. So then why use the metaphors? Why not just say, I'm going to give you power to stomp on Satan? So I kept praying about it, asking God to just give me insight and asking questions of my own. So I started thinking about snakes. How do snakes hunt? Well, usually it's ambush. They hide, they wait, they deceive. Their prey makes the fatal mistake of thinking they're safe when actually they're in grave danger. Just like Eve. I mean, think about it. You've got this gorgeous girl, absolutely perfect in every way, and she wanders up to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, it's a lovely tree, and the fruit looks delicious. This is certainly not the opening scene to a horror movie. It's too idyllic. It's too perfect. It's too safe. And then Eve sees the serpent. But this creature is not threatening like a rattlesnake. I mean, it's not frowning and hissing and shaking its tail. We know from the curse in Genesis 3 that before Eve ate the fruit, the snake wasn't crawling around in the dust on its belly. Some theologians believed it had wings and flew and maybe was very colorful. It sounds more like a beautiful dragon than an ugly python. But whatever the case about its appearance, what's important is that when the snake shows up, it doesn't scare Eve. It talks to her, and she talks back. She feels perfectly safe. Just like a mouse scruffing in the dirt right in front of a pit viper, she's completely oblivious. Even before the snake tricks her into eating the forbidden fruit, it's already deceived her. Eve is in grave danger, but she thinks she's not. She thinks she's safe. That is one way Satan attacks us. He deceives us into thinking that we're safe. I mean, come on. One drink won't matter. One look won't hurt. That compromise will be okay. He lulls us into thinking that we don't need God. We don't need to honor his boundaries or follow his rules because it's not that big of a deal. You're all right all by yourself. And you don't see the snake in the leaves until it's too late. The snake strikes, and the poison's in your system before you know it. So Psalms 91 talks about the snake, but it also says we can step on the lion. Now think about how a lion hunts. It's completely different. Yeah, they kind of hide in the grass for a little bit, but then they roar and they jump out and they chase you, and it's terrifying, and you know they're coming for you. It makes your blood run cold and your knees shake. People freeze in front of lions. But what's interesting about the verse in Peter is that the lion only roars. It's a threat. It wants to eat you, but in the verse, it doesn't eat you. Have you ever been afraid of a lion in the zoo? Of course not. I mean, you see the walls. You're leaning up against 5-inch glass, and you know you're completely safe. That lion cannot touch you. But what if you were alone in the dark, in the middle of the Serengeti Plains, and you hear a roar, and it's close? Now that's a whole nother story. God says that we are his children, that he will protect us and provide for us. And in Psalms 91, it says he'll be our shield and our fortress and our refuge, our safe place. And God gives each one of us a great mission, a calling to fulfill. And to counteract God's call, Satan roars. He tries to frighten us away from our destiny. He roars and we doubt. He roars and we shrink back. He roars and we play small. Think about the roars that you hear in your life. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough money. You don't have the right degree. You're too old. You're too young. You're too out of shape. You're too addicted. You're too much in debt. Your family doesn't believe in you. You've failed so many times in the past. Look at your track record of sin. Whatever he's roaring at you is to keep you from fulfilling your mission. Moses, you're a murderer. You're a stutterer. There's no way you could free the children of Israel. David, you're an outlaw. The king is coming for you. There's no way you're ever going to be king. Joseph, I know you had those dreams, but come on, man. You're in jail in Egypt. God has abandoned you. Give up. Daniel, look at Jerusalem. It's smoking and in ruins. You're in chains and you're going to Babylon. There's no way God can use you. Paul, you've got the blood of men and women on your hands. How dare you think you could write letters of encouragement to the churches? Roar, roar, roar. And guys, get this, when Satan attacks us, he does it usually as a snake or a lion. He lulls us into thinking we're safe, that we can compromise, or he screams at us and he scares us back from our destiny. So in Psalms 91, when God says, I'm going to give you the power to trample on the lion and the snake, he's saying, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to point out the snake in the grass so that you hear the lies and you know where the danger is. And he also says, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to walk right next to you. And when that lion roars, you don't have to be afraid because I'm the Lion of Judah. And that scrawny, mangy old lion out there in the bush can't do anything to you when you're right next to me. There's two great stories in the Bible where we see how we overcome the snake and the lion. The first story happens in Acts, and it's when Paul is shipwrecked. He dives into the ocean and the waves are crashing, and he gets up on the beach and it's freezing cold and the men are huddled together shivering, and Paul helps build a fire. And as he's throwing some brush into the fire, a viper that was hiding right there in his hands, in the brush he was holding, leaps out of the flames and bites Paul right in the hand. And Paul shakes it right off into the fire. And he goes on and he keeps helping people. And everyone who sees it's like, oh my goodness, Paul's going to die. And then Paul doesn't die. Paul knew his destiny. An angel told him, you're going to testify before the emperor for me. And Paul didn't believe any of the lies of the snake. He got bit and he's like, this snake cannot hold me back. And as long as we're doing what God has called us to do, that snake can't touch us. And when we get hit with those lies, we just shake them off. Now, the great story about how to overcome the lions is none other than Daniel and the lion's den. Think about it. Why was Daniel put in with the lions? It wasn't because he was a criminal. It was because he was faithful. So imagine Daniel walking towards the lion's den. He can hear the roar. He can feel the ground shaking beneath his feet. And by this time, guys, Daniel's an old man. He's not young and dumb and reckless, and he doesn't think that nothing can ever happen to him. He knows pain. He knows tragedy. But as he walks to the den, as they roll away the stone, as they get ready to put him in, as he hears the roars echoing in his ears, Daniel's not afraid. He doesn't believe the lie that says he's going into the den alone. He knows he might die, but he's got a greater hope than life here on this earth. And guess what happens, guys? When Daniel goes into the den of lions, he is not alone. The Lion of Judah is right there with him. And in the presence of God Almighty, those lions are quiet. The roars stop, and all you can hear is silence. Now, we know those lions were hungry because the next day when Daniel's enemies are thrown in there, those lions ripped them up. But because God was with Daniel, even though he was surrounded by all of these lions, he was completely safe. Paul was able to shake the snake off into the fire because he was with God. Daniel was able to sleep soundly, surrounded by lions, because he was with God. Men, if you want to trample the snake, if you want to step on the lion, then you too have got to be with God. And that is the theme of Psalms 91. If you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, if you rest in the shadow of the Almighty, if you say, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust," if you let him cover you with his feathers and find refuge under his wings, if you let his faithfulness be your shield and rampart, if you make the Most High your dwelling and the Lord your refuge, if you acknowledge his name, if you call on him and listen for his answers, then he will deliver you and honor you. Then you too will tread the lion and the cobra. And the promises of verses 14 to 16 will come true in your life. "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." With God, you are more than a lion tamer and a snake charmer. You stomp on them. You have victory over them. With God, you are more than a conqueror. So men, today, don't focus on your sins and your issues and your problems. Just focus on God. Make him your dwelling. Invite him into your heart, and he will give you the power to step on snakes and trample lions. God bless. God's blueprint for building epic men is Jesus. When men go all in for God, they change the world. That's why Blueprint for Men is dedicated to empowering men to base their lives on the example of Jesus. One practical way to do that is through the Morning Summit. A number one new release on Amazon, this 13-week small group challenge equips men with the team, plan, and tools they need to create solid morning habits that will transform their lives. Search Morning Summit Blueprint on Amazon today. Jesus is the blueprint for men, and he's calling you out of a life of comfort and into a life of courage.